done in the past for immigration reform, if anything?
For the Latino community, he hasn't done anything really. And basically what he has done is deport more than 2 million people. And a lot of that in any other administration they have done in the past. So we hope that this is the time for him to really show his power, that he can do the executive action tonight, and really, because they don't agree with the two, the House representative, with the Senate, so there's like a back and forth, and there's no solution. While there's that debate, a lot of people, they get separated from their families, and they got deported. And every day, we have 1,100 people, it's been deported. So when we ask at this time to stop the deportation while the immigration debate is still going on, and we don't know what does that mean, like for the announcement, executive order today, but we would like to stop the deportation. Not one more family gets separated, not one more our community be deported. And the other thing that worries me is the militarization on the border and internal control that use the technology or different sources to detect and arrest and deported people. The militarization on the border, I always don't understand, because it's been always secure the border. There's too many border patrol, ICE agents, and even the soldiers there in that area. It's like a war zone. So what else we need to secure our borders? And I think it's not worth to spend money to have more militarization in the border, and because that makes a lot of people die, because they go in places where really very extreme dangerous to cross the border.
So Vos is doing a response to the announcement today, tomorrow in Portland, right? I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about that.
Yes, tomorrow we're going to have a press conference at the federal building at noon. So we're going to have families who are affected, who're going to speak to that in the press conference, and state laborers and documented people and activists in the community. We're part of a national reaction about the action of President Obama today. So we are about 30 organizations around the country. We're doing the same thing in the same day tomorrow.
That was Romeo Sosa, the executive director of VOS.
Local immigrant rights groups, including VOS Workers' Rights Education Project, will be giving a press conference and community reaction to Obama's announcement tomorrow at noon in front of the Portland Federal Building. You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Eric Tegedoff, James Helmsworth, Don Merrill, Jim Thompson, and Joanna Peterson. The producer is Sam Bowman. Special thanks to Chris Andre. Our engineer is Matthew Olson. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews, or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River 91.9 FM. I'm Sari Gametha.
Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO, it's at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, it's Positively Revolting Talk Radio, a variety of topics from an eco-feminist and anarcho-feminist perspective. At 9 on Veterans Voice, Angie and Marvin honor the late Bill Byers, co-founder of the show, by airing an interview with him recorded last year. At 10 on Air Cascadia, Chris Andre speaks with Allison Weir about her new book, Against Our Better Judgment, The Hidden History of How the U.S. Was Used to Create Israel. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, we hear author and activist Dr. Helen Caldicott on the Ukraine crisis, is nuclear conflict likely? She is also joined by Stephen Cohen, contributing editor to The Nation magazine. Thank you, KABU members, for your generous support. If you are not a KABU member, you can become one by going to kabu.fm and clicking on Donate Today. Now stay tuned for KABU Evening News in Depth. I'm Pat Epstein. Good night, Sarika.
Good night, Pat. Good night, Matthew.
Good night, Matthew.
KABU News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community. I'm standing on Southeast 7th Avenue between the Family Relief Nursery and the Women's Residential Center. It's an oasis for women who are trying to get their lives together. Both of these facilities represent programs on this small campus run by Volunteers of America. They're designed to help women surmount the consequences of life gone somewhat wrong.
My name is Teresa Willett. I'm the program director at Volunteers of America Women's Residential Center.
Teresa Willett graduated from Portland State University in 1999 with a master's in social work. She was the coordinator of the Men's Residential Treatment Center for 5 years. Since then, she's been the program director and manager of the Women's Residential Treatment Center.
So the Women's Residential Center serves women in Multnomah County who are on parole or probation. And so you could think of us as an alternative to incarceration.
The Volunteers of America Portland Women's Residential Center began as a work release program for women in 1986. In 1991, they opened a residential program for women, which was based on the male model of services. In the mid-90s, staff and volunteers identified the need to provide services to women and their kids and hired a family specialist to address those needs.
A huge percentage of the jail population, some say up to 75%, is made up of people who have drug and alcohol issues and who have done crimes that are related to drug and alcohol issues. So the women at the residential center actually are there instead of being in jail.
Part of the official mission of the Volunteers of America Women's Residential Center is help them overcome a variety of challenges, rebuild their lives, and re-enter the communities as healthy, productive individuals. But women have to get to the program first, and often that only happens with the help of the courts.
So women are referred by their probation officer. We like to say that they're voluntarily mandated. Some do have jail sentences hanging over their heads, and some have been trying to make it in the community for a while on probation and have been stumbling and using and then get referred by their probation officers instead of being sent back to jail.
There are four phases for the women to help them adjust to the program. Stabilization, which means focusing on the need for treatment and getting accustomed to the residential setting. Intensive, which means learning about substance abuse and criminality. Tiered intensive, which means beginning to involve others in their lives and the community. And finally, transitional, planning for leaving residential treatment. Catacorner to the VOA campus is a clutch of women standing at the edge of a gravel parking lot, laughing and smoking. You may see a group like this one most times of the day and most days of the year. They didn't give their names, but they did talk about the program. Okay, so my question is, what is it like for you all to be in this program together and support each other?
It's like a big family, crazy family, but it's supportive. I graduated, but I still come here to see people, so, yeah.
For me, it's very, like, yeah, therapeutic community. I have a lot of, I feel like I get a lot of support from the women here. I mean, I didn't have no friends before my addiction, and to be able to come here and feel loved and missed after you leave is a good feeling. And this is the support and the connection that you make with people who have experienced kind of like the same thing that you've gone through.
But the Women's Residential Center is only part of the story at the Volunteers of America campus in Southeast Portland. Sometimes those women have kids. And Ms. Willett says that for those mothers, her program dovetails into another one.
A certain percentage of our women are allowed to bring kids into treatment with them, age 0 to 6. And so they need some place for their kids to be while they're doing treatment, while they're going to classes and groups. And so historically, they've been able for part of the time to drop their children off at childcare classrooms and respite care next door at the Family Relief Nursery.
My name is Michelle Reynolds, and I'm the program director for the Family Relief Nursery.
The two Family Relief Nurseries run by Volunteers of America, the one on 7th as well as the one on 136th, are part of a network of more than 24 relief nurseries throughout Oregon. According to Mary Ellen Glynn, the executive director of the Oregon Association of Relief Nurseries, the association has been in existence informally since the early 90s, but it incorporated as a nonprofit 2 years ago. When I visited the Family Relief Nursery on 7th, it was full of happy and vibrant kids, both inside one of the playrooms and outside on the small playground behind the building.
Hi, how are you? What's your name?
Are you having fun?
Dad, my dad.
This is my tape recorder.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Hi. But she couldn't stay. She had leaves to crunch.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Again, Michelle Reynolds.
And April will be here 22 years.
Wow.
It was a child development center here through VOA along. It's been here a long time, I think, this building. VOA has had child development center here years and years ago. So it was actually run by some nuns that actually stopped by not too long ago. So,
Ms. Reynolds graduated from the University of Portland in 2005 with a BA in social work. She then worked as a teacher at the Oak Street Development Center before becoming the program director for the Columbia Willamette YMCA and then the program director for the Family Relief Nursery.
So the Relief Nursery is a prevention program, and we work with children and families who are at risk of abuse or neglect. They've been identified by having certain risk factors, so you need 8 risk factors out of a combination of like 48 to 50 to qualify for the program.
According to the most recent report on Family Relief Nurseries, commissioned by the Oregon Department of Children and Families in 2008, those 47 risk factors constitute, quote, an assessment tool that includes issues such as child welfare and foster care involvement, mental and physical health, poverty, and family violence, unquote.
And we provide therapeutic classrooms for the children. We provide parenting classes for the families and monthly home visits and developmental assessments for all the children as well.
Mary Ellen Glenn, the executive director of the Oregon Association of Family Relief Nurseries, says the organization gets some money from the state, which it then redistributes to all of those other 25 facilities, including the ones in Portland. But that amount's relatively tiny. Trish Hamilton, director of development and communications for Volunteers of America, Oregon, told me the annual budget to run the Women's Residential Center this past year was approximately $1.7 million, and the budget for the Family Relief Nursery was approximately $1 million. Volunteers of America funds its programs mostly from donations and support from the Portland Children's Levy, the Multnomah County Department of Community Justice, and the Children's Trust Fund of Oregon.
In most cases, when families first enter, it's mainly just stabilizing the family with just basic needs such as food, clothing. Most of our families have the best intentions at heart, but they're struggling. 99% of our families currently are below the poverty line. They're looking at often there's domestic violence, mental illness, are some of the different risk factors. And so a lot of our families, we just need to help stabilize them and put parenting back on the radar for them. But when they're just struggling for basic survival needs, it's not that their parenting is intentionally being neglected, but just kind of help stabilizing them. And then we can work on other goals, such as employment or going back to school and things like that.
And this is another area where the programs dovetail. Both have expectations of successful progression by clients through their respective programs in order for them to stay in those programs. Again, Teresa Willett of the Women's Residential Center.
When a client first comes in, the goal is really just to stabilize. Some are coming from the streets and some are coming from jail. And some are just finishing a detoxing process. So once they've stabilized, they can then engage in the program, and they're going to classes, attending groups, seeing a counselor, going to self-help meetings at night, doing recreation, and they're in that intensive phase of treatment for about 14 weeks. And during that time, they're working with a case manager so that they can look at things like housing and employment. They're also building a clean and sober support network. So being in treatment for them is really more than just about understanding how to stay clean and sober, but it's really about rebuilding their lives.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 6 o'clock. Coming up next, Rose City Native Radio.
This song could go on without any end, till you realize that your car is not your friend. We're all car addicts, let's just say no, then those cars will have to go.
Help support KBOO Community Radio by donating your used car, truck, motorcycle, boat, or any other vehicle. We'll transform that old machine into resources for unserved and underserved communities, free training, recording equipment, and great programming for the Portland metro area, Cascadia, and the world. For more information, call 1-877-526-6123. That's 877-KBOO123. Or go to kboo.fm/vehicle.